You are now tuned into The Essentials on homegrownradio.net. This is Groovy Liz. Callie Alley to the right of me. I got it right.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. I got it wrong last time. And Mr. Skywalker Mike to the left. And in front of me, Mr.
L. Perez.
Mr. L. Perez.
One and only.
Welcome.
How you guys doing? Good looking. Thank
Good.
You for having me.
Yes.
Glad to be here.
We're honored to be in your presence.
So. Appreciate it.
How was the drive? I know it was far.
Yeah, right. This ain't my hood, but I'm down the street.
So, okay.
Yeah, you know. Inglewood's hop, skip, and a jump. So.
What is your hood?
Inglewood, South Central. So, yeah, born and raised over there. Half like Inglewood, half South Central, you know. So I grew up where the riots happened, but also did everything in Inglewood and stayed in Inglewood also. So, and if you're familiar with that area, it's probably like 10 block difference from both of those places I'm mentioning. So, yeah.
Well, let's get into who El Prez is. Like, where do we even start? You do so much. Yeah, so let's talk about.
That's dope to hear.
Where did it all begin?
Well, I've been rapping for a while. Mm-hmm. I probably really started getting heard and known about like around 06, 07 maybe. I basically popped off because of the blog era. You know, Two Dope Boys, Now Right, Hip Hop DX, things like that. So, I kind of popped off with them, and I started running with this group called UNI with the homie Stars and YO. So they started bubbling out here in LA, along with like Pac Division and Pac Div, Dom Kennedy, Blue, Teron and A.O. Mari, J. Davey, all that whole type of class of people, Ty Dolla, even to like Kendrick and TD and all that. So that whole era from like 07 shit to probably 2012 or something. Just really going hard with the rapping and trying to make a name out here, you know, in the LA scene and stuff. So it was all about those relationships, and that kind of helped me transition as, even though I'm still an artist, obviously, but you always want to do more than one thing. So I started doing events to give back and stuff. So the events giving back all came from me as an artist and those relationships I was establishing in, you know, because that's where the name Prez comes from, and just being a leader for the people. And you know, I had that good ability of being able to network with people and shake hands, kiss babies, all that good stuff.
Oh,
so
you kiss babies.
Everything, you know. But me being able to network with all those artists and stuff helped me, you know, succeed as an artist. So I apply that in every other thing that I do, you know, from the artist stuff to running a digital label to doing right. events.
What do you prefer, honestly?
I be rapping all day, yeah. Hey, that's never gonna stop, you know.
You prefer rapping than
I've been
the platform.
I've been a lyricist, you know, since high school, really, like senior year of high school. So, and that's really where my name comes from. That's how people know me. You know what I'm saying? So, and I'm actually pretty dope at it. So, you know, it's took me all around the country and everything like that, and it's, you know, giving me all those other opportunities and doors to do these other things. So. Mm-hmm. I love doing events. It's fun to do. It's really dope to, you know, help others succeed in what they're doing. Like, that's really important, is seeing other, you know, artists and stuff get that feeling, that same feeling that I got, you know, being an artist. Because when we're popping off, you know, sometimes the importance of the blogger is kind of, you know, glossed over, or people kind of take it for granted. They probably talk a little more about its importance in the next few years, mm-hmm. because you got, you know, a lot of them cats turning into icons and right. really superstars from that era. But it was a lot of differences in that era than everything else now. Before then, it was like the labels, you know. I come from that era right before the blog shit. So, you know, it was a couple cats like Nipsey and all them getting signed, and, you know, the homie Glasses and stuff like that, where you still basically you had to have your demo or tape or something, or know somebody and go perform in front of them, or go to the label, go perform, or, you know, spit in front of somebody and they'll make a decision then and there if they're gonna want to give you a deal or anything like that. So and that's kind of how it is now. the players have changed, you know, the names have changed, but the game is still the same on that tip. Blog era was different. It was the Wild West. You know, we had all that power in our hands. We could drop records when we wanted to. We could sell out shows when we wanted to. We could throw shows when we wanted to and create all these platforms. So, you know, all that, all those type of things helped me turn into the type of independent person I am, you know, and being an indie artist, that's what I love doing. So that's why I will always be an artist and, you know, trying to put out music. Yeah, either for myself or others. So.
Do you feel like starting as a rapper and then producing events, do you, how would somebody come up to you and be like, well, what do you do? What's like your immediate answer to like put everything you do in a box? Not in a box, but like in one title.
I don't put it in a title. I'm an artist.
You
I'm
just
a
say rapper. Artist, yeah.
So and that's how everybody knows me. You know what I'm saying? I'm
so for the people that don't know you. Events. But what about for the people that don't know you?
They'll have to know the artist stuff first and go through that. You know, because that's always the foundation and what it's about. You know, I'm not a promoter. You know, I'm nothing like that. If anything, I'm a curator. You know what I'm saying? I call myself a curator. I don't call myself a creative or anything like that. I love this rap shit, you know. Yeah. I have no problem calling myself a rapper, you know. You know, even though that might have kind of a bad connotation these days with, you know, all the jokes and all that type of stuff because everything becomes a caricature, you know. So they see the average stereotypical rapper and they be thinking, oh, well, you that average in your basement or, you know, begging 100 people listen to you and, you know, them annoying ass type of caricatures of what a rapper is. Mm-hmm. And so you get people saying, you hear a lot of artists say, oh, I'm not a rapper. I'm not this. I'm not that. Nah, I fucking rap. You know, and that's where this all comes from. Yeah. So, you know, most people that know me or get to know me, they're going to know it through the music, either through me or other people that know me because they're going to speak and say, oh, you don't know El Prez? Oh, that's El Prez. Oh, he did this, or da-da-da, he does this, or you should hear this, or you never heard Animal Style, you never heard Los Angeles, or, you know, Prez Sport, all this stuff. You never know if he worked with this person or that person. You know, I feel that I've solidified my claim, I mean, my rep good enough that if you don't know, then you got to do your research. It's not up to me to let you know. Mm. But my foundation, end of the day, is being an artist, you know. Because if I start saying I'm a promoter and stuff, then I deal with it now.
Right.
Yeah.
With a lot of these young artists that don't know and they just try to approach me like I'm a promoter.
Right.
Like I'm, you know, janky promoters from Modesto, you know, like the movie and everything.
It's false info. So let me rewind a little bit. You know, you dream, you have this dream, you make it a goal, you make it a hustle, you know, you make it happen, it becomes your career. When did you know, like, it turned into your career? Like, what was this, there a specific moment, and do you remember it, how it went down?
I think once you start making money off of it, definitely that. Once you start making money, I'll give you a big example. You know, the homies, you and I really started popping first out here amongst our little group of people, and so then I had an opportunity. I had my whole album ready. I had a good amount of people on. I was putting out this, well, mixtape or whatever and stuff. So it started getting buzz, and I had a song with them, and I wanted to do a video for it. And so I was using that same video director. And so it's the homie Tomas, and he was dope. And so we're shooting this video called You Ain't Up On This, and it was going to cost, you know, a nice chunk of change. And so I happened to just get into a car accident on some fuck shit. Just somebody hit me and totaled my car. So, you know, me being a person that's an independent artist, and a lot of indie artists probably can relate to this, you got to be used to taking risks. And this, just in life in general, the people that go out and get it and succeed in life, you got to be used to taking risks, taking a gamble. And so I could have just went and got a new car, but I took the money from my car getting totaled, and I went and paid for my video, and I paid for to get my shit pressed up, and I paid for, you know what I'm saying, some marketing and PR. I paid for shit, you know what I'm saying? And I took that money that I could have been rolling around still and said, let me take this leap. And that was what kind of set it off for everything for me, you know, is that video and that relation. And that enabled me to go out of town on tour, that enabled me to do festivals, you know, South by, A3C, CMJ, all that type of stuff.
So it all started. Blessing in disguise.
Yeah, and sometimes it's about that risk, you know. So that's when that is, it's not necessarily one certain moment, but yeah, once you feel that you're really invested in yourself, I think that's when you should feel that it's a career. Also making money off of. Right. You got to get checked.
Well, I'm glad you're still here from this car accident. Shout out for you still being here in one piece.
I was good. Cause my car wasn't. But
I'd rather be. That's replaceable, like you just said. Yeah. You know, there's only one Prez. So I'm glad you're okay. And and you knew that's when you invested in your career. That's awesome.
Yeah, so.
Liz, do you remember like the specific moment where
I was gonna say, do you I thought you were gonna ask me about a car accident?
No, I was gonna say we're gonna change the tempo a little bit.
She was like, which time?
We're gonna change the tempo just a little bit. Do you remember the moment where you knew like this is not just a hobby, this is my career?
I don't know. I think that's every day for me, kind of.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like an everyday thing.
Like you play by every day, or you just know every day. Like you wake up knowing.
I think it's hard to say because it's different for everybody, right? You know, like a lot of people every day.
I can't play this by ear.
A lot of people are like living, like this is the only thing they have for income, you know? Like if you're a rapper, like you're waking up, you have to go to the studio, you have to go shoot a video, you have to go get some CDs pressed or something like, you know? Mm-hmm. But for people, I guess, that aren't doing music, like graphic designers or I guess promoters or you know other people like that, like they wake up and they have multiple things that they can make money off. It's not just one thing that's a brand. So I guess it just
depends. I guess if it's related to your career it could still count. So then you kind of do just go in it. I feel like you go in it every day just because that's all I can think about. Even if I'm working, that's something not related to it, it's because to invest in the brand. So I feel like even if it's not like exactly what you want to do, but you're working towards it, then I think you're living
it's
day
about
by day.
The work. Yeah, I think it's the work you put into it. You know, you have a lot of people that look at it as a hobby, and then you have people that's really serious about it.
Right.
And you could really tell the difference a lot of time off that one simple thing is, are they investing in themselves? Are they investing actual money into their product and stuff to put out a quality product? You know, so I think every day you see this as a career, but once you get money in it, it's a career. It's not like you're getting a check every 2 weeks, but if you hustling, like me, this is my day job, this is my full-time job, you know, is rap, hip-hop. Mm-hmm. Now, what that encompasses from me doing music, selling music, consulting, events, whatever it is, you know, all of that encompasses what I do. So yeah, it's a full-time job, you know. And I think most artists, once you start putting out your stuff and you gotta go on tour, you know, I quit my job once my shit started popping, probably like 2 years into it maybe, and I went back and forth, you know, at times I've went back and forth, have a job and stuff like that and not. But you know, first time 2009 I was out because I couldn't leave. You know, you want to go on these tours, you want to do things that you can't leave. You want to go and do these events. Sometimes you can't leave. Yeah. And the job is paying you chump change anyway, you know. So I don't really care about that. And these days, more than ever, if I had half of the tools at my disposal 10 years ago that we have now, oh, man, I have way more bread because you have way more opportunity to start your own business and, you know, capitalize on it.
Yeah. What are some of those tools?
Well, I mean, for instance, I come from the MySpace era of you could post your music and all that stuff. So that's cool, but it wasn't a way to sell your music per se. Mm-hmm. Posting videos, we had to post on YouTube, Vimeo, Daily Motion. It probably was like, it was hella things. Vimby video in my backyard, also all sorts of like startup sites and everything. So it really was like the Wild West. While now everything is like, you want to do your video, YouTube, you want to sell your music, you guys can go straight to any artist, can go straight to the streaming platforms. That wasn't possible. I was lucky to have a distribution company reach out to me, and I did that probably 2011 or 12, you know, shout out to Foundation Digital. But I've been with them, and it's the same thing as kids do now, but they're paying up front. You know, I don't pay basically to release nothing, but they take a percentage on the back end of my stuff, and the same kind of percentage thing. Yeah. But if I had DistroKid pay $20 and then you're able to upload as much music as you want, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, we are still pressing up CDs. Right. You got to think of all that. So you go from that era of feeling like, oh man, I gotta go in a parking lot and go beg somebody and deal with people saying, are you on the radio, or do you listen to hip hop, or all this BS, which I, you, my shit is dope because I come from that era too, so I've you know, I've sharpened my steel doing all that stuff, you know, I've grinded out the mud for all that, you know, I've did that since college, so that, you need that on your belt. But now you have so many ways to just set your business up. You sell your shirts. I used to have a big problem with merch back in the day because, you know, being an independent person, your capital ain't a lot, especially when it's your, you know, you saying it's your career at the time, but you're not really making no money from it. Getting stuff pressed up was a big challenge, you know, just coughing up a quick, you know, $1,000 to press stuff up, $750 to $1,200 to press up some t-shirts and stuff, and you're not even guaranteed to sell them all. Versus now, I could go through Printful, I could go through a bunch of sites, pressing up t-shirts, all sorts of merchandise, no overhead. They mail it all out for you. You know, you got to think of those type of things. Like, it makes it hella easier to start your business and succeed at it. You got people that be on YouTube and make money just straight off YouTube, you know, being YouTube creators.
Or even like just streaming numbers in general.
Yeah. Streaming too. People hate on streaming. But if you talk to any real artists in the game, especially the ones that are at that mid-level, you know, or that have a career, but you don't really hear. Like Trez, for example, that was on Payday, you know, the September one, you know. So he does around 100,000 at least on Spotify alone, streams. He does around half or most of his videos have hit around a million.
Right.
He is able to monetize all that shit. So he's getting a check. He's getting a nice enough check where he ain't got to take his ass to work. So he combining that with his CDs he sell and these other avenues, shows, he's able to have a full-time career and say, that's my motherfucking job. So, and he has to carry himself that way. He has to be a walking label. Right. That's the trade-off with it. But, yeah, that, for example, is very easy. And you ask the average person, even in L.A., they might be like, oh, I haven't heard of him yet. You know, so that's the thing. You got tons of people you ain't haven't heard of that are making a career out of this. Buying cars, houses, get a nice check. That check come every 3 months or every month, you know. I get my check every month. You count up your sinking. You count up your licensing. You count up that stream, you know, the streams and stuff. It's a nice chunk of change. If anybody wanted to see just your, you know, you'll see my shit over a month. On any month, it's going to break down all that stuff from you. And all those little .005s and .001s and all that bullshit, it adds up if you're really moving. So I don't knock streams. I don't knock streaming at all. I think it is a better deal to go direct to fan, though. I think the new shit is you have to get people to go directly to you and buy your shit. With the exclusivity, so you don't post your shit everywhere at first, because me, for instance, charging $30 like a Rock Marcy or something, or a lot of these underground hip hop cats now, the Griselda shit, everything like that, they will put up the site, put the digital download $30, and they have such a rabid fan base, or they build that rabid fan base, they're gonna go out and give you $30. I put out a record press sport, Urban Street Americana, with JanSport J, 2014, you know, half through Delicious Vinyl and stuff, matter of fact. Shouts out to them. But that one, we had Bandcamp, which I love Bandcamp. I definitely would recommend most artists, especially if you're indie, rock with Bandcamp. It's way more artist-centric than streams. Have your streams, too. But we had our Bandcamp, and we had our streaming stuff up. But people were on the Bandcamp. We had a pay any price you want. The average person was paying $20. And we had it up for, you could probably pay a dollar, I think. So you got to think, average price, digital download, people thinking, what, $5 to $10? But your fans that rock with you, they're going to want to support you, and they want the music because it's dope music. So they're going to pay $20, $30. So, you know, artists these days, when you take advantage of that, that's when you build the fan base, and it's making money for you, you know, so... I think what people have to do, like I said, you have to be a walking label. You got to pay attention to your stats. It's like It's like sports, you know, these days where they have, y'all might relate with like a lot of analytics stuff. They'll be like, yeah, the basketball dude, he averaged this many points per minute in the fourth quarter when this happens. Artists have the same damn analytics. Spotify gives you that. Apple gives you that. All these apps, Pandora gives you that. Bands in town, you name it. Every aspect of you being an artist, from tours to selling your music to streams, they give you the stats behind it, and you literally can pinpoint and direct yourself to where your fans are and go straight to them. So I don't have to go and say, I need to just set the same shit Kendrick doing, I need to go do. The same shit Blueface is doing, I need to go do. Because that might not be what you need to go do. But if you know where your artists are at, you go straight to them, you know? And it's a lot easier these days than when I was first starting. So I think that's a big advantage. But I think a lot of artists also take advantage of it and, I mean, take it for granted and don't really utilize all those tools. The ones that do, you see how they act and you see how their careers go, you know? So
like growing up and... pretty much, I want to call it the Y2K, right? You saw that. You didn't grow up during it, but just call it the Y2K era. Seeing the transition with the internet and social media and all that stuff.
Well, you mean like year 2000 Y2K?
Like even MySpace. MySpace was starting to change the game. Everybody needed to own a camera at the time, right? So like things started changing. Everything was like uploaded and then it just got bigger, right? So what can you take like from the 90s and bring it in today?
Well, I think it's still that hustle mentality.
Yeah.
That's what you still need. You know, it's so much ease of access these days.
Yeah.
A lot of kids these days, they don't even know how to, well, Siri need to chill out. Siri, like, who
she
you
said,
talking to?
What?
But, yeah, I think it's all access. So, back in the day, a lot of kids don't even recall going into a record store, you know, things of that nature.
Well, Amoeba kind of brought that vibe back.
Yeah.
I love Amoeba. So.
Yeah, definitely that. Shouts to Amoeba. So good. You know, shouts to even like Fat Beats and all those before. Mm-hmm. But just going to your average record store, Tower Records or something.
Yeah.
The hip hop ain't at the front. The hip hop is in the cut, in the back, like right corner or some shit. And so an analogy I used to always tell artists, you know, for the past decade really, is when you selling your music, even if you're going on iTunes and all this and Apple Music and these streaming sites these days, you got to imagine that shit as a record store. So when you used to go into the record store, if you used to go into one, you'll have just somebody's CD that's in there, and then you have somebody's CD that's in there. It's at the listening station. It's at the end cap, you know, at the end of the aisle. You go to pay for your shit. It's got a little stand with the CDs right here to the left of you. So you seeing that shit everywhere. And that's what a lot of these artists don't understand. They just think, oh, man, I got Pro Tools on my computer. I can make a song. I'm out there. I'm able to upload my stuff to a distribution site, or I can upload it to Spotify. I'm selling my music. And so they do this. They send a tweet. They post to Instagram. Or they pay for a video, and then a week later, they're like bitching and complaining online or wherever, saying, oh, nobody's buying my stuff. Nobody's paying attention. Or they're getting, you know, disappointed and saying, oh, they don't care about it. I'm about to do new music. I'm about to put something else out. Like, you know, instead of having faith in their product and sticking to the product because of the ease of access and not having that hustle mentality to say, hey, you have to sell your stuff. So it's all about the relationships you have with people. To set up your promo, things of that nature. Not just saying I want to sign up for DistroKid. I need to find out how I could have that banner when you go to iTunes and right there on that front page you had a banner. Or, you know, like my company, it'll do that. Yeah. I go through Foundation Media and I say, hey, I have a quality project. My shit is dope. They'll be like, all right, we could do these things. We'll get you on this chart. Even today with playlisting. You want to go hard at getting all those things, you know? And half of these artists don't do simple shit like somebody will post a song on a playlist and they don't try to contact the person, you know, to say, hey, good looking out, you know, I got a new song. You want to check this out? Establishing a relationship. Yeah. But they'll be quick to bitch and complain saying my homies ain't supporting all this other stuff. And I've been in the game long enough to know I've been through all those phases, you know. You know, like what they say, 10 steps of grief or whatever the type of thing. You go through all those of the artist being optimistic to jaded about it to, you know, having that reality check and realizing either it's going to be a career for you or a hobby. And if it's a career, you got to approach it like a business. You cannot expect nobody to do shit for you. And you cannot expect people to just get you and roll with you. You have to put that, you know, you have to put that in your face.
Yeah, you're selling a product.
You know, yeah, you have to find your fans.
It's not just a feeling or something that you want people to feel like you do. It's a product. You got to show them and present things that they might like and hope they like. And if they don't, you got to just try selling it to somebody else, because not everybody is going to buy it, you know. Not everybody's like that.
But you got to do it in the right spots, too. You know, if my fans don't go to Target,
right,
I'm not concentrating on pressing up a CD and putting it in Target.
Got to know your audience.
Yeah, you know, look at the cast like a Jules Carson or something that was on Payday.
Yeah.
He came, did it twice. He had a whole light set up that he came up and everything. Yeah. Like, it's just extra little things like that.
I won't forget his name because of that light, like that box. Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
So even if you didn't hear the music per se or remember the music, you remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? I think people got to remember people are visual as well. Yeah, you know, it's like
absolutely.
When you hear something you like, a lot of the times, like if you listen to a playlist and it's new music and you're in your car, you know, they're listening and they might like it. And then after that, they go look at the artwork. And that adds a feeling to it, too. So that's when they add it or they don't. They just
artwork.
Press next. You know,
yeah. Artwork
is
very important.
Very important.
You know.
Content. Just vidless. Any media content, I think, is important for almost any artist now. You know,
especially during a performance. Visuals is everything. Yeah. Like, I understand that you can make me feel something with your words. Yeah. But the visuals, it's what I feel like creates the foundation of the experience. Like, I will never forget, like, whether it's incorporating with your music, whether when that beat drops, that scene
Lotus.
Flying Lotus, perfect.
He does a 3D show, you know,
which was amazing.
Yeah.
Changed my life, mind blowing. And the whole time, and I was sober. Like, well, I smoked weed, but you know, like, I wasn't on like other major drugs. I'm pretty sure the people around me, and the whole time, people were just like, oh shit, damn. And like, I'm like that the whole time too, and I'm sober, and I'm just like, this is something you'll never forget, never.
But that's putting the extra effort.
Oh, absolutely.
That's putting the extra effort into your show, whether it's visual, whether it's actually rehearsing for the damn show, you know, not having 50 people on stage with you and actually putting a stage show together.
I hate that.
You know, a dope act that's...
Unless you're like a boy crazy. Band or like a boy group or a duo boy. Or whatever.
Even
I don't
still,
you, be a
you know,
team.
Rap, we're pros at. We invented that. 50 people, right? Literally be
well,
like...
because you're trying to bring your homies part of the...
But it'd be like
a
crowd, right?
Right?
It'd be a crowd on the stage.
Yeah.
I've been to a show before. I think like it was Two Chainz or somebody. It was a whole nother crowd on the stage.
What
like cats smoking and drinking. Yeah. It's like the crowd. It's like two crowds. Yeah. One in the crowd. Yeah. And then it's the crowd. And then it's a whole nother crowd on stage. They're not like backing him up, hyping him. They're on the crowd chilling.
Yeah,
like,
just chilling, yeah.
So one time I saw a Childish Gambino on Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
And they literally brought a sofa to the stage.
But
so two homies can sit there and just smoke weed. I'm like, this is
Shout
and Childish is doing it. He didn't like. They didn't get on the mic. They weren't all. They were just literally on a sofa on stage, just smoking weed. I'm like,
well,
how do
think
I become
about
your
that.
Friend, Childish?
Think about that. People think Childish Gambino could do that. Why? You know, I can't do that though.
Of course.
But
true.
You
very
can
true.
Do that.
Yeah.
You literally can. You literally can go grab you Kimmel, something. Though. You grab you a fucking prop and you bring it on stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. Did I used to bring prop? Sometimes, you know, I remember one time we had somebody press up some like vote for prayers type of poster shit.
Oh,
we had
dope.
On stage t-shirts and shit. But
dope.
I mean, even to the point like Pac Deal was dope as hell, and you and I and other people, they would come on. They was on that 90s type of kid vibe and everything, mixing it in with the rap and stuff. And they would come on stage literally with a fucking Nintendo gun and a Ninja Turtle doll and all this other shit. But they cool as hell.
Right.
And you know, the vibe is on some real cool stuff. So people, their fans got it, and they knew that their fans would get it. But it's little things. You know, Coast Contra, dope-ass group. they have a whole like one or two songs that go a cappella in the back and forth between four members that lets you know that they didn't just wake up at 2 hours before and say, hey man, we about to go do this show. You ready to go do the show?
I agree.
And they gonna have the vocals playing over the beat and all that shit. None of that's going on. They put actual effort. Yeah. So those are people I fuck with. You know what I'm saying? And that's the hustle mentality that I'm talking about, is things like that, putting extra effort into that, putting extra effort into not just taking a picture and throw a parental advisory sticker on the cover and say that's a cover.
Yeah. Right. How often are people taking advantage of that at Payday, like to do, like taking the extra effort to actually make a good performance?
Every show.
Every show.
Every show. Not everybody.
Yeah. Right.
But every show. You know, I Hate
crowd,
You, Alex.
Is the crowd reaction usually different?
Well, the crowd is always receptive to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you got to think, on this level, doing something like Payday, you still have to bring your own crowd. Mm-hmm. You know, we call ourselves Best Rap Show in LA. This ain't no showcase and all that, because it isn't. It's not mm-hmm. a showcase. It's nothing like that. We don't use none of those type of terms, and we don't present it in that way. Mm-hmm. But, yes, you have to bring your crowd. And if you cannot win over the other people's crowds, mm-hmm. then, hey, they might go outside and go smoke or whatever, you know, or go hit the food truck or what. There's other things to do. You know, go to the other bar, you know, and just chill.
That's what I like about that spot, though.
Yeah, you go to the other side.
There's a vibe, no matter where.
Yeah, so you have to catch people's attention. And that's one thing that I hate, that I never bitched and complained about shit like that. I didn't know nobody. I came literally on going outside, going to people's shows, and that's how I would get on. So I wouldn't know none of these people, fans in the crowd, versus them maybe bringing their whole, you know, group of friends and everything.
Yeah.
But I was dope enough to win those people over. And then afterwards, you get people coming up saying, oh, man, where's your shit at? Let me check your shit out. Mm-hmm. And that's how Payday is. If you dope, everybody going to rock with you. Mm-hmm. They going to stay. They going to do all that. So even somebody like I Hate You, Alex, he came out. They had, you know, a fit. They fits was all coordinating. It was, you know, show shit, that's you fire. Know. He had his whole vibe ready. Got him lit. That's dope. You know, things like that is fire. Airplane James. Had his whole shit ready, you know? It's a whole show put together. And cats like that, you could tell, are going to do bigger and better things. Triz and Satire, you know, that just rocked. They had a whole show set up, you know? Triz came out there looking like 50 Cent with the vest on and all that. But it adds to it. If you're a real, you know, MC and entertainer and all that, you know what works fit-wise, like for shows and videos. It ain't necessarily shit you might walk down the street in.
Right.
But it's even from simple shit like that. Mm-hmm. Simple things like that are going to separate you from everybody else versus you coming up. We've had people come on stage and they have on $1,000, $2,000 fit. You know, wow. Balenciagas and all that shit and every chains and, you know, really? Gucci down. Yeah, to Payday. And they set me whatever, you know? And so afterwards, they kind of, not disappointed, but they kind of like, oh, okay, it's cool. And they see other people go up there and rock it, because all that shit ain't important.
Exactly.
Is you sticking out is important. Yeah. You know, that's what makes sense. Right. So it's putting that extra effort. You know what I'm saying? If I'm going to come out and do a show, I'm rocking what I want to rock. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a certain thing for the image that I want to give off to the crowd. You know, what they want to see. If I'm repping some super LA shit, I'm going to come out on some super LA shit. You know? So even Alex wearing Cortez's all the time and him having a song named after that makes sense.
Yeah, it's dope.
Him coming out in Timberlands makes no fucking sense. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, a lot of these acts is usually every show, you know, but it's definitely acts every show that showcase those things. Sticks, Watt Sticks. Mm-hmm. It's definitely somebody y'all should know if y'all don't. A legend in the game out here in LA, you know. He's like me. He's a person I blueprint after, which is why I say I'm an artist. I'm not anything else. I'm an artist no matter what I'm doing. He's always been an artist and a rapper. Currently does stuff for the, you know, LAFC, Clippers, all that. Anything Watts. But he started The Pit, which The Pit is a world famous event that used to be done at Rehab Projects with Scratch DJ Academy. Probably 10, 15 years ago. It's like Bananas, all that type of stuff, but straight battle stuff, world-renowned stuff, you know? Yeah. So he's a dude that knows everybody, you know, from Kendrick on down, you know, to Chuck, like Chuck Dizzle, same kind of thing. So you want those are the type of people I pattern myself after, being able to jump in all those arenas and do stuff.
Right.
But even somebody like that has been around forever. He did Payday recently, and he got the crowd hyped because he knew I play some dope songs that everybody know. They gonna get hyped. Then I play my shit because he's a vet. He been doing this shit. He knows how to rock a show. So he got up there. He played some, you know, Next Episode or whatever type of some just classic LA stuff that or West Coast stuff you can't help but, you know, say hell yeah to or dance to. Then he got them all hyped. Then he'll go into his shit.
Right.
And so afterwards, everybody's like, man, that shit was hard. Like, he killed that shit.
Yeah.
And he kind of used other people's shit to get his started. But that's what you do. That's knowing how to rock a show, whether it's 50 people, 200 people to 2,000 to 20,000. And you could tell no matter what size crowd it is, you know. So every show is usually at least a couple people that really stand out. But we have, you know, at least half the bill, man, a surprise you, man. Mm-hmm. It'll be cash you ain't heard of, and you'll be like, okay, that shit was hard.
For real. Know?
What do you look for in people that submit their music to Payday?
First, the music got to be dope.
Where's like your first place to go to? Like, do you tell them send me music and you wait to them send me the best tracks, or you go on their Spotify? Like, do you do the research or you just let them?
Well, unbeknownst to them, I do have a regular submission thing. I tell them a couple things to send, some links and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they don't get certain things I do, right?
Sorry, guys, my knees
hurt. I feel you. Y'all been sitting down all day. I feel you. But yeah, so I ask them certain things because that lets me know. If you don't have no Spotify links, you probably shouldn't be on the show. And a lot of things I do is kind of, I'm not going to tell you you shouldn't be on the show, but I'm placing things there to let me know whether you even qualify on those simple things. I don't even have to bother to listen to it.
Yeah.
And we do get a lot of submissions. So I have to pick and choose, you know, about my time and listening to stuff.
Yeah. So only you pick, or is there like a team?
Okay. Yeah, I'm the dictator. I'm the president.
Oh, you're the presidente.
Yeah. Right. So. I ask for those couple things and social media, those type of things in a bio just lets me know you are at least professional in what you're doing. You're at least a little serious. Because I'm telling you, you'd be surprised. A lot of people just straight up say, it says sent from my iPhone and it's a track. And hey, I want to perform in some. And I'm like, dog, like, I don't need that. Versus other people sending total EPKs and all that, sheet. So, but unbeknownst to them, I'm going on your social media. I'm checking posts on your social media. I'm checking your Twitter. I'm probably going to search you.
What do you look for in social media? Like followers, what they're posting? Like, what do you look for?
I definitely look to see. Consistency. Yeah. What percentage are you posting about your music versus what you're just talking about?
Exactly.
Bullshit.
Right,
Lakers or whatever, Dodgers or whatever.
Right.
I look for all that. You just joking around. If you go to your Instagram and it's all memes about other shit, that tells me you're not serious.
Right.
If I go there and ain't nothing but your videos and stuff and you performing and everything is your music, I'd rather fuck with him.
Of course. Yeah.
Versus the person that not showing anything or one picture or I know an example of one cat that was, you know, had an issue over how we were choosing stuff, and he, unbeknownst to him, he doesn't know. I done went through your Twitter, your Facebook, your Instagram. And his Twitter, for example, is talking about his favorite football team for 80% of the time. And only a couple tweets about his music. And he just said he dropped a project.
Wow.
And I'm like, you ain't even promoting your project.
Right.
So that lets me know you're not serious.
You're not that ambitious.
So don't waste everybody's time.
Right.
You know, it's not like anything goes. It's not a showcase. You know, this is reserved for people who are serious about it that are going to take this and catapult it to themselves to the next level. That's what Payday is.
Yeah.
So I look at all that stuff. I'm looking at your streams. I'm going on your Spotify's, all that.
Mm-hmm.
If people have a video, that's always a plus to me. Yeah. Those are always things I'm gonna check out first. I'm never gonna hit an attachment first.
Right.
I don't care about attachment to songs. I want to see it on a service.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care about unreleased stuff. I don't care about none of that.
Yeah.
I care about stuff that's out. And you want to have a video. Video gives me the full picture of you. Like
true.
We were talking about earlier, you
so
said with
true.
The visuals, everything.
Yeah.
It gives the perfect, you know, visual picture of your character. It gives me the full view, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me how you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fun type of person.
Mm-hmm.
Your music, how your performances probably are, you know, even if you don't have no show footage. That lets me know all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, like kind of the artistry.
Yeah, and it lets me know you're serious.
True.
You know, no matter how simple or professional video is, it lets me know. And I can tell by the views. I'm looking at interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm seeing if you have actual fans or if it's just your homies and your manager, you know, commenting on everything.
That's not good?
That's okay, but it depends on the amount.
Mm.
Excuse me. You want to see some form of traction?
Of course.
You don't have to be blown up or everything. You just want to see some form of traction. But it has to be traction. It can't just be the same four people every time.
Right.
Because that doesn't show that you're growing fan bases. Mm. And half the time, people don't even respond to the actual fans. Mm. Or go find where they at. So if you are doing that, that lets me know you're serious about it. Yeah. And you should be on my show. Because you're going to shine. You're going to give me as much shine as I'm giving you.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm looking at those type of things. And me being in a position I am and having the network that I have and relationships I have, I'm going to ask about you.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I'm going to look on your friends list and see who you know.
Right.
You know, Instagram tells us who we both know.
It's true.
So if we both know a certain A&R, or we both know Rosecrans Vic, or we both know Chuck Dizzle or DJ, especially anything music related that I rock with or people I respect their opinions, that lets me know. If they follow you, that means you must be doing some shit. Let me find out some more. Let me ask them. I will go as far as hitting people up and ask them, hey, how about this person? You know, Chuck is infamous for that. And even though I say I decide stuff on my own, everybody hits me and gives me tips and feedback all the time.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, I got an artist or I got a homie or something. You know, Chuck hits me, for instance.
Yeah.
He's always hitting me, say, hey, this person. He put me on Hey Dion. He put me on Hollandis. He put me on
Hollandis.
AZ Sway. You know, a few cats.
That's dope.
Yeah,
but
Corey
at least you're willing to hear. You know, you're like open. You're not just like, nah, I'm going to pick.
No,
like,
I'm always open, because this is the thing, too. Especially people that are fans of my music. They know what type of music I make.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I may do the more lyrical type of shit, I don't go off of what I listen to. I go off of what I think is going to pop. And that means I have to pay attention to what's popping in L.A. I have to pay attention to the L.A. scene. I have to pay attention to the ratchet shit all the way to the underground shit.
Absolutely.
The low-end theory type of shit.
Oh.
Bananas type of shit. I have to pay attention to that whole thing, because that's how we going to win. That's how I came up.
Yeah.
You know, when it's me, an Overdose, a Kendrick, all that type of shit, a Scheme or stuff like that. Everybody's from all sort of backgrounds, but everybody knows each other. They cool, and that's what you find out with Payday, and that's what I love finding out half the time. We'll book like half of them, and then they'll all show up and be like, oh, that's the homie. Man, that's my nigga, or da-da-da. They already know each other, even though they do totally different music.
Right.
You know, so it's about those type of people, you know, and that lets me know that you're serious about it. If your name is ringing bells, I'm going to hear about you. You know, so that's what people have to take consideration. And if you don't, you know, and if even if I don't rock with the music per se, if I think you're professional too, that's another thing. If you got a bio that's dope, your videos look nice, professional looking, your Instagram is everything set up, you got a team, the music may be all right. I'm going to give you a chance versus the person that is dope, but everything is sloppy.
Right.
Everything is sloppy. You might as well have a CD with your name written on it and a Sharpie, and you handing it to me to play.
Right.
Like, that's real shit. And it's a lot of people like that are dope, and they just feel entitled to say, oh, well, people think I'm dope, so I don't need to do none of the shit that means I can sell a record.
Right.
And if you can't sell a record, why are you performing? Because that means you don't care about having no fans.
Right.
You know?
Feel like LA can get a bad rep sometimes. I feel like we take a lot of shit just because we have from people all over the world come and move out here and following their dreams. So like the transplants kind of give us a bad name. However, they think, oh, everybody's fake. It's a competition. Nobody supports anybody. But that's not true. I've been going to your Payday events. And for instance, last night, Verbs was there. He has a whole nother show that's
Shouts
successful.
To Verbs.
Bananas. You know what I mean? It's no competition. At the end of the day, it's all love. And everybody's there supporting other artists, like Villain Park is not even on the lineup. They're still there to show love. So it's like, I like that you kind of create that camaraderie. And I think that's really dope. And I feel like if people would take a deeper look, they would see that LA does have that love for music.
Yeah, I think shows like Payday and bananas mm-hmm. and beat cinema are kind of mm-hmm. like defeating that beat stigma. Cinema.
Yes.
You know, because there is a lot of people that think that LA isn't backing them, you know, mm-hmm. but it's not LA. It's the people that are moving to LA mm-hmm. that are from like Arkansas or Dallas. Or
but that's the thing. You have to. But that's why I dissed it like Payday.
Yeah.
Because we have to build our platforms and control our narrative. So we have to do that, you know. And I come from the scene in an era where we had a scene out here where everybody getting along like people want to do now.
Yeah.
Like they're envious of Atlanta and other places. Mm-hmm. All the artists work with each other and stuff. I come from that. So I'm used to that. So anything I'm doing, artist-wise and music-wise, is with that in mind. Mm-hmm. It's saying this is inclusive. I did some of the first bananas, and I think that's just 10 years now. I mean, Verz was talking about that with the homie Justin. Shout out to the company, man, last night. He was in there. Shout out to Hip Hop DX in there, too. So we're talking about that, and the way they revere bananas now is dope as hell. That's how I used to revere The Good Life and Project Blowed. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Me just rocking on Project Blowed and not getting booed was like a rite of passage, and that's how these new artists look at bananas.
Right.
So you know? True. And I done rocked on the first couple. I've known Verz forever. So that's what a lot of these people don't realize, is all of us know each other, have been friends for the longest, because we all had those same things in mind. Mm-hmm. It may be different levels of how we do it. And I can't, if I came in doing Payday saying, I just want to do the same thing as Payday, I just want to do the same thing as Common Ground, or I just want to do the same thing, Don't Come to LA or Rosecrans Live or something, we wouldn't survive. Or the same thing as The Basement. We wouldn't survive. We have to stick out and say, this what we doing. That's exactly. Why my shit is straight rap and everything like that. Yeah. But, you know, you have to have these relationships with people, because one of us pop off, everything pops off.
Yeah.
And if one thing is popping off, you realize it's a lot easier for all of us to push shit together. So say, you know, shouts out to Noah and everything that's did Payday twice. I've did Common Ground probably like 10 times. You know, I used to love doing that, and that used to help me out a lot, making inroads in the IE. But say we want to do a festival. Mm-hmm. We can do that.
Yeah.
Because between the three of us.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
It's enough networking, most infrastructure, definitely. And opportunities where we can put it together ourselves and not have to worry about transplants or reaching out to other people. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, by the transplants, you can't knock it. This is a famous, I'll tell you a famous story real quick, right? This nigga KRS, right? It was about the Source magazine. They ran into an issue because two white dudes that made the Source and run it, even though it's, you know, you talking about predominantly black and brown culture, which is hip hop. And so they were doing a speaking engagement at like Harvard or some shit. Oh no, the people are from Harvard. They started the Source on Harvard. All right, so they're doing something on campus where a couple of the black students kind of found out they were doing like a speaking thing and bringing KRS-One to come speak. And they're like, well, why is he going to speak with the white dudes? Why is he coming to speak with the black students, like the BSU and all that stuff, right? And they're like, why? How can they go ahead and do it? And they just think they so cool. And how can they write about our culture and everything, make a magazine and all this and stuff? And so at first, KRS wasn't going to do it or something, right? Because they reached out to him. And the white cats are nervous because they like, yo, if he doesn't show up, it kind of kills our credibility. It can kill our fucking magazine off this early, like, you know, in it. And so he's waiting for him to pop up, and he pops up last second. And he's like, yeah, I'm here, man. You know, I rocks with y'all. Y'all fuck with me, I fuck with y'all. So he goes, but he says, I'm going to go speak with the black students first, you know, and then I'm going to come to yours. So he goes where the black students are, and the black students ask him, like, yo, so what do you think about these white dudes doing a rap magazine? You know, it's about black culture and stuff, basically. And he says some real shit. He's saying, hey, if you don't like what they doing, make something better. Do your own. And that's the thing, when we talk about these transplants and everything like that, I know from touring around the country and working with these people all over the country, especially when you really in the industry and shit, them niggas is hustlers. Mm-hmm. They grind it out. You go to fucking Austin or down South Texas. You go to all these other pockets, Miami, right. Florida, all them stuff. They have whole scenes and incubated scenes. You go to Texas, for instance. Mm-hmm. One thing I love about Houston, they have whole media companies. They have like 20 Essential LAs and Homegrown Radios and all that. Mm-hmm. And it's like 60 of them. And they all got their camera crew. They all got all this shit set up. And it's very professional and the networking. And they pay each other. They pay for the beats. They pay for verses. They pay to work with each other. A lot of artists go to Texas to get money because they know people pay for verses and stuff very easily. So the grinding is a lot different. Where LA, sometimes we, you know, we take advantage of this shit saying, hey, we right here in home of Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And so if we don't want the transplants to set up their shit, we have to set it up.
So no, I don't think that's the issue when I say transplants. I think what I meant is that they fuck it up by giving LA a bad rap. It's because they're the ones complaining all the time. They may be grinding, absolutely, because they're taking the opportunities. Well, but yet they talk shit about the city.
Yeah, I feel what you're saying.
And the people that are from LA, they're like DJ Head just said, LAX is open 24/7.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that. But all that's more.
Of course they'll take our opportunities.
Yeah, but all that's more online, social media, chit-chatter. Yeah. In real life, in real life. Yeah, we have an issue with a lot of the transplants coming over here because they're coming out here because they work at BET or they work in the entertainment industry and their jobs because they went to college and they had their networking up. They're eventually going to end up in two places or probably three, at New York, Atlanta, or L.A. And really, L.A. or New York. So you can't get mad at them for coming out here and say, hey, I used to do a party like Duce Palooza or whatever in Boston or whatever, and I'm about to go bring my shit out here. I'm about to go do Grits and Biscuits out here or blah, 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 or any of these other traveling parties. They come out here and they pop off because it's
like,
such.
People like Yes Jules, I guess. Right.
Even like that, you can't really get mad at Yes Jules to an extent. The tone deafness, hell yeah, you can. But you can't get mad at her for setting up her shop and doing it because. If she don't do it, somebody else is going to do it. You have to put yourself in position so you can do it. And so they have, Yes Jules has to come to you and say, hey, well, you the one that rocks it out here. I have to come fuck with you. If El Prez is the one that's doing all the shows and I have artists and I have a radio station, I need some shine from artists that are on your shows or get to know them. I need to know El Prez. So instead of me setting up a show myself, which I could do also, I need to just go to the biggest show, which is popping right now. I need to go to the source. But if it ain't no source, I'm a creator source.
Right.
And that's how a lot of them are, where they're like, they don't ask for permission, none of that shit. We may feel they need to ask for permission, but it don't matter. They're going to do it anyway. Do you know how many people I get from out of town that hit up on Payday compared to niggas in LA?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I get tons of people because they see it. They don't have a problem paying to get on. They don't have a problem with none of that type of
stuff.
Is
there usually a problem for people to pay?
It's not. So the thing is, if you come from out of town, I'm really probably going to make you pay unless it's like really worth it because unless you really got a fan base like that, there's no point. Right. But to get back to the point I'm really talking about is that they are already used to those structures. Mm-hmm. And if somebody, for instance, is willing to pay, that's hungriness. Mm-hmm. That's saying I'm hungry enough to fly 3,000 miles and pay to rock on a platform because I feel that platform is going to give me enough shine to help me with whatever I'm doing in my career. And that's how they look at it because they're like, when I'm in Atlanta and I do this big time showcase that the radio DJ's doing everything, I got to pay to get on there for 5 minutes just to have Futures A&R or 2 Chainz A&R tell me, oh, that was good shit.
Right.
So we got to think about all those type of things. They have a hunger to do it more. Mm-hmm. A lot of these LA artists, for instance, A3C, I'm glad they have A3C, a good amount.
I was going to mention
I've did A3C since 2009. I did South by Southwest in 2009. Mm-hmm. You go to A3C, for instance, this year they have a good amount of LA artists. Mm-hmm. Usually they don't because you have to pay. They're not paying you to go out there. You have to pay for your own flight. And a lot of people are not going to do that. On the other hand, all them cats from out there, if we had a festival out here, they have no problem flying out here. They have no problem going from all over the country to go to South by Southwest to say, hey, let's get on.
Yeah.
And if it takes having us take us having to pay to get on, half of them will do it if it's really worth it an opportunity. Now, keep in mind, buyer beware, don't pay for stupid shit. But it literally is great opportunities that you might be faced with that challenge of saying, hey, damn, that lineup is cold as hell. And they saying, I could get on there, I got one song. These motherfuckers will make you rock for 5 minutes and they'll charge you $1,500.
Right.
You know, and they have no problem with doing it. While a lot of LA artists, they're not going to do that shit. Mm. And it's because of the hunger. And you have to have the hunger to say, I need to get out and either set my shit up myself or play the game. The thing you don't need to do is sit on the side and complain. Yeah. Now, Head says what he says because he's talking about other things too, but he's also, he has that clout to say that. And he's also telling you.
But he's always been like that.
No, he's always, but he's always been a real person, yeah. Great person, and what he talks about, because he's saying, I'm one of those gatekeepers you should come talk to. I'm here to fuck with you. Mm-hmm. It's no bad blood, mm-hmm. nothing like that. But you have to talk to the gatekeepers, because when you go to other spots, if I go to Atlanta, I know who to go talk to that's going to plug me in with the right people. Okay, but if out here, they don't know who to go talk to, half of these people ain't going to go. And so we have to set up more paid ALAs, more platforms, more essentials radio, you know, more homegrown radios, more of these opportunities. So when an artist comes out, they say, I know 10 PRs that can rock with you instead of just one Simone, you know, shouts out Creole, Voodoo, PR and all them. But more than one Bang Loose and BMG. Mm-hmm. You want 20 to 30 of those. And yeah, there might be a lot of people saying they got a record company or whatever out here, but I mean actual legitimate incorporated businesses. Mm-hmm. Businesses that people take serious, pay taxes on. You know, it's an actual career for people.
When you gonna write a book, Prez?
Nah, I'm no not business. Gonna write a book.
Nah, you say that now. We'll talk in 4 years about this.
But I mean, just to wrap that up, a lot of artists these days. You got to take it upon yourself and do it. Yeah. We could bitch and complain. I love to bitch and complain. No, I love to talk shit and joke about transplants. You know what I'm saying? No, I love all that type of
You're
shit.
You're savage, you know but what I'm you saying? Don't bitch and complain.
You got to do a lot of leading by example.
Yeah, but you have to just go and set it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? Liz, great example. Liz, show up. Liz be at hella spots. And Liz, you started off, what, interning, I want to say, or something? Yeah. Yeah. But Liz, a go-getter.
Is.
And that's what you, no matter
She's
what
everywhere.
Kind of, I could be at any type of event from some real ratchet shit to real hip hop shit. She going to be there.
Yeah.
If the artists on the bill are buzzing or if the event is buzzing or worth to be at, she going to be there. Mm-hmm. And that's half the thing. Half of these artists want to get on payday and ain't been to one yet. Why would you want to get on a show you ain't been to yet? Yeah. Instead of coming up and meeting me. And half the time, I might be like, oh, well, you cool? Yeah, come on, get on. Yeah. Just because I met you and we've established personal stuff.
Right.
You know, it's things like I had a homie who used to, this is back in the day, but I would even recommend this now in a different way. He would literally have his Rolodex of all the industry people, and he would call them niggas every day just to say what's up. And he would have everybody from Kevin Lyles, all sorts of people. And he would literally be calling, not to say he wanted something. He would just say, just to say, what's up? And you got to hear that example that sometimes people give you to say, hey, first time they might not remember you. Second time they might remember your name. Third time, oh, you the homie. They shouting you out. That's literally happened to me where I've literally, first time I don't know somebody, and by third time I go in there, it's nigga Snoop to all sorts of cats. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You could walk in and be like, oh, El Prez or Wooty Woop. You have to look at those type of things and say, that happens because I just came outside. Mm. I was real about what I'm doing. I'm not just being an opportunist.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not saying, hey, oh, Liz, man, I do new shit. I ain't met you a day. I'm like, man, what's up? Can you play my music? Can I get on the show? You know, Ali, can I get on the show? Mike, can I get on the show?
Yeah, we get a lot of messages from people.
I haven't listened to the show once.
Yeah. Or I like never, like they don't even follow nobody that
don't follow nobody. Yeah. You don't follow nobody. My first thing on the submission thing says follow Payday LA. Because if you're not following, how do you know what's going on?
Yeah.
That means you just in it for the clout. You're in it for the clout. You're in it for all that trendy shit.
Yeah,
so.
I think most of the people that we get on this on Essentials, like it's never like anybody hits us up. We're always looking for people, you know.
I think the best way to do
it. I think it's rare when people hit us up and like, can we get on the show? And we'll say, yeah, but it's not very often. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It's going to turn to that too, though.
Yeah, no, it
will. And I'm pretty sure you already do get people hitting you, but it's going to turn to that where the bigger you guys become, the bigger the brand is, the more people are going to come and, you know, say, I need to get on there because I'm out here doing music. And the ways that you bossed all that up is connecting with other platforms. So, excuse me, I get this, for example, a lot now, especially with artists coming from out of town. They say, hey, well, I have an artist. they're putting out a project, they're coming to LA, can you help me get them on, do you know some radio shows? Literally, they asked it, do you know radio shows, mm-hmm. and people to meet that they can meet or play right. music for? Literally. So when people come and it's actually somebody worth it, like say a Tef Poe, for example, from St. Louis or whatever, a lot of these people that's on that level, they come and they need to get all that done. I'm going to be like, yo, hit up Liz, hit up Allie from Essentials, hit up Chuck Dizzle, hit up Robin from What We Talking About Radio, hit up all of these avenues, hit up Track Life Radio. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Hit up all that stuff because, and the more we have, then every time any artist coming or you guys want to get in contact with some, it's one call away. You know, I could say, yo, I got this person. You like, look them up, say, oh, they'll be a perfect fit for us. Yeah, we could fit it in. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. And then more y'all types pop up. More of our types pop up. That's where it pops. So when people, for example, was getting mad at me on Twitter for talking about a lot of cats do a couple open mics and then get mad because they can't get on my show, it's because, like, yo, you have to put the effort in. You know what I'm saying? And we're building more than a community. Mm-hmm. They're talking a bunch of, oh, you got to do it. We're doing this for the community. Are we doing this for hip? I'm not doing it for the fucking community. I'm doing it to build an economy. It's bigger than a community. It's to build an economy. Mm-hmm. You want people working with each other so we can all get money. Mm-hmm. You want Essentials Radio sponsored by Red Bull and Pabst and all this shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You want Payday sponsored by all these other things. You know? And these things happen by us working with each other and building these platforms. So when an artist pops up, it's all of these avenues. You are automatically plugged into the matrix to say, I could do all these things. I need to press up shit. We got catalog for you. You know? Yeah. And I got plans for that. I'll say off camera. I'm not going to say on mic. But we have to build the economy. It's mm-hmm. bigger than a community. Let's get money with each other. You go to Oakland, where I got the game from, the Bay Area. That's where I got my independent music game from. You'll catch anybody, 50,000 records sold, they on the corner still selling a CD or talking to people. Yeah. The littlest people know the record store owners, know the producers, know all that shit. We have to do the same. So, you know, artists got to work on that. All of us do.
Thanks for dropping all those keys, man. Like,
no problem. Sorry for the long-windedness, but yeah, you know,
it's beautiful to hear that. You know, like, I don't really hear a lot of people saying that or saying things that you've been saying. You know, other than people like Noah James or Chuck Dizzle. So,
yeah, know, Noah's another person too.
Yeah, Noah's always dropping some keys. You know, every time I see him, it's always a good convo. So. Yeah, it's nice to hear that. Like, I think we definitely more of that. And
you want to do a central show. You know, you want to.
Are you ever going to do like an IE Payday thing? I know it's the best rap show in LA, but will there ever be like an IE? I think you talked about that a while.
Well, we want to. It's eventually will be best rap show in the country and, you know, beyond. So we definitely want to take a travel.
Then you got to change your hashtag.
I know. Hey, that's a good thing, though, right?
So will there be an IE edition?
Yeah. We definitely are working on trying to do it. Working with a couple of the artists and everybody, just trying to find the right spot and stuff to do it and the right setup. It all has to make sense because if we do one, the first one got to set it off.
Yeah, that's very true.
It has to be if I can't get the right cast that be going hard in IE, you know, if I can't get a Cam Gnarly or a Noah.
I like that you had Fame Kills.
Yeah, Fame Payday. Dope.
Fame Kills is really dope.
You know, that's a vet. Stevie. You know.
Yeah, you've had Stevie. IE artists on your show, well, because, which is good.
All right, so ask Stevie about me. Yeah. You know, that's why. That's why. Not too my own shit, but that's why. Yeah. But so when we do the IE, it has to be that lineup.
Yeah.
Noah and all these type of people. Yeah. So when I tried to do it before, I couldn't do it yet because everybody was out of town or doing shows. I tried to get it. I think a couple people were like the night before had a show, the night of. It just wasn't adding up. So we're going to try and make it happen, but we're definitely going to try to do an IE. We were going to do an A3C one, but I had too many events popping out here this year.
You did a lot this year.
Yeah, so we're going to do A3C for sure. Shouts out to them, Mike and all them over there. But them. We want to do South by. We want to do travel it all, you know, take it all over.
So. I already told you this before, Prez, and I'm going to say it again. I just want to see more women artists on Payday. And I know you do incorporate with paper, and I know you got some stuff.
Well,
going
you know,
on.
you gotta let them know that we got a whole women rap show called Queens Get the Money that we about to start doing too. So,
but not like just all women.
Hopefully, well, it's not about just doing all women. Yeah. My thing too about that
just
too
like Payday.
Is I want to place that on a pedestal right now because that's what's really, really trending right now and popping. Yeah. Rightfully so. You got a great variety of dope women artists, so you want that to pop. And so, yeah, it ain't about just having an all-women rap show. It's women deserve a show for once. We don't say it's an all-male rap show at all.
Why don't you?
Because it ain't necessary. So
why is it necessary for women to be all?
It's going to get to the point where we shouldn't have to say
that.
Let's
just start it now.
But that's the point.
Let's just start it.
You're not getting what I'm saying. You're not getting what I'm saying. I'm not saying all-women rap show. I'm saying is Queens Get the Money. Yeah. I'm letting you know what's dope about the show is it's all women on this shit.
Yeah.
But you want it to the point where we could do all women and not have to say, oh, it's no men on the lineup. We need more men on the lineup.
I mean,
because we don't say that with the men. You know what I'm saying? So
look, I'm not
the same way.
I'm not, it's not a bad thing. You know, you wouldn't find not even all women lineup shows back in the days, you know? So it's where there's progress. With that being said, like, hopefully it can just be like just a camaraderie thing. We just all come together.
But we do that now.
It's really hard. I mean, I'm from LA and I've been seeing a lot of shows. It's really rare sometimes when I see, you know, 50-50. It's usually more male dominant.
But shouldn't it be 50-50? And that's what you truly getting at. You want it 50-50 where anybody's on it, but it's not 50-50. Mm-hmm. So when the playing field isn't level, sometimes you got to tilt the whole motherfucker over and say, hey, we have attention that's needed right here. This is not saying put you to the side. This saying put you on a pedestal, put you in the front to say, hey, this deserves a spotlight right now because usually it's just all dudes, you know, and you want more women in hip hop anyway.
Absolutely.
And you got to find them all. So the more we put events like this together, the more women say, oh, I actually feel included because it's something for me now. You know, cause especially in hip hop, being as male dominated and a sausage fest as it is anyway,
right?
You know, it is kind of awkward for women to be there. But if you go out of town and other things, you go South by and see a show, it'll be a hell of women rappers. So you'd be like, yo, where are they all at? So me doing Queens Get the Money and saying, hey, I got some people y'all fuck with that are all women, and where are the other ones at? So let's do some dope ones and find some them next superstars that are going to pop off instead of them feeling I have to be the only girl on a male-dominated lineup, like a lot of the women do feel a lot of times. Let's do when it's all women, and then once that shit starts blowing up, all these women that keep appearing on these all-women lineups are going to start crowding the regular-ass lineups, so then it will turn into 50-50.
True.
So we got to think about the long game, you know? It's past being accepted. It's about saying, hey, we dope. If I had, like, Beat Cinema, say, yo, we got all trap producers right now. If I did Payday LA and said we're going to do a whole trap edition, that ain't no different than what Queens Get the Money is. I'm just saying I'm doing all women.
Yeah.
That's the shtick. I can say I'm doing.
This will be the first one though, right?
Well, it's pop up. It's pop up. So we want to do one and hope we do more.
Okay.
You know, we got to find more. But it ain't.
See how we going to change the game if you
gotta
might not try it again. You got to keep going.
They got to come out. They gotta come out, and we have to find more women rappers.
I think that's true.
Music.
I think that's true. You know,
you gotta find more women artists too.
At the same time, there's a lot of people that are submitting. You know, and if there's no women submitting, it's kind of hard to book women.
You gotta find.
I mean, I've thrown shows, and I've kind of done my research, and I reach out sometimes. I can't wait, but it's a little different how I do it. I don't. You have a huge lineup. Like, it's amazing how you find so many artists.
We got some dope people.
I only do the most I would do is 5, and that's including like a surprise guest. So I do like that balance. I don't know if it's a Libra thing, but I like that balance where I need some
everybody
feminine
has a
energy
thing. Yeah.
And I like that masculine energy.
Though.
You know, and sometimes I like to throw in a producer. Sometimes I don't even need to hear you.
But that's why.
Feel you.
But that's why everybody's different, right?
Exactly.
So everybody has their thing. Exactly. My experience from doing all that stuff. I have my way of doing it, and that's the one thing about Payday is I'm the nigga with the vision. So, you know, I'll be like, yo, everybody follow me to the promised land, and we'll get there. Yeah, and we're on our second, about to hit our third year on it, I feel like it's working on that for me, though.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't knock what nobody else does, and I think the more you had, the merrier. But I'm about doing all these themes. You know, I want to do my own producer thing like Beat Cinema. Mm-hmm. I want to do some lo-fi shit.
Yeah.
I want to do all these avenues. So I want to be able to be that person that no matter what genre you're doing, you got to come rock them. We do R&B, paper. We just started doing that. So now we're doing R&B for all those people that want to get on Payday. But I do Payday because Payday is forming the same way. We do straight rap because I felt it wasn't enough rap shows out here that are geared towards independent artists. You got all these R&B events, all these R&B open mics, all these R&B events, but you didn't have enough that was straight rap. So we trying to do that with everything.
Definitely.
You know, so the more the merrier.
Absolutely. Nice. Well, we can just keep talking. I mean, you could just keep dropping gems all night, but we're going to... But Liz's knees are hurting, and she keeps.
Liz is like, "Yo, I got to go."
She needs to. You need to do more yoga, stretch them joints,
dude.
Be flexible. What's coming for 2020?
Oh, 2020 is more shows. Definitely new music. I'm trying to drop some new music before the year is up. We definitely gonna do like some vinyl, probably cassette CDs too. So I've been working on that stuff. Shout out to the homie Professor H and a couple other cats. But definitely Payday, paper, Queens get the money. And hopefully festival time, you know? Yeah. Travel around the country.
Maybe a rock show one day, no?
I would need help on that, dude. Yeah. You're pushing it.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. You never know. You do it all.
But, yeah, just more events and more just fleshing out the platform. You know, I do artist consulting. I do all these other things that we want to try and monetize and turn into actual stuff. You know, I have a label, you know, Urban Street America. You know, it's a digital label through Foundation where I put out my stuff. I want to turn it into something where I'm putting out other people's stuff, you know, even on boutique size stuff. You want to flesh all these things out in these avenues that I have. I do artist management. I used to manage Asadio for a time, Burning Giraffe for a time. I currently manage We Are Skywalkers out of Ontario.
Really?
I've been going over basic executive producing their new album dropping, which is going to be fire. Nice, you know, dude. We got House Shoes engineer, the homie Tenacity, mixing it down right now. We got Willie B on there. We got a few people on there producing and stuff. So I manage them. So I've been doing artist management a little bit. Okay. I'm probably going to phase out of that, you know, but and go back to it in a second when I really grab. I want to find. That's another thing with Payday. It's got me into managing talent, but I really want to find somebody dope that I could really mold and really, you know, have in the trenches with me. I want to because that's fun. You know, it's hella fun to do that shit, not just A&R my stuff and being in charge of myself but somebody else. So,
for sure.
You know, it's going to go back to more of that, too.
You can mold Liz. She's a producer.
Ah, shit.
What?
Yeah, you forget. She's a producer.
She was like, huh?
Yeah, she got a beat.
A beat.
A beat.
But it's a start. She just needs that push.
But, yeah, you know, we're trying to put stuff together, you know. We want to do a whole beat thing where I want to do something like Beat Stars or iStandard, but I want to do it in person.
Yeah, you know,
I want to do like a convention style. You right. Like people lease beats. I'm willing to figure out a way we could do that all one day at an event. And rappers come through and lease the beat right from the producer on the spot type of stuff.
Dope.
You know, so it's just different, more than just shows and stuff. Different, you know, avenues.
Well, I believe you got this. You've done so much. You've proven that. You've proven what hard work gets you. And thank you for letting us in a day with Prez, pretty much.
Likewise.
Actually, likewise. Or a year or your life. But we appreciate likewise. You here. You know, it's homegrown love. We usually ask two questions.
Yes.
I don't know how we are going to kind of.
The music baby?
We can do the music baby if you want to.
Yeah. So if you can throw in some artists into the studio and have them create a music baby, what artists would you throw into the studio? As many artists as you want, dead or alive.
And to make a music baby?
Yeah.
To like make some music, like some whole new shit, that, like some music I would want to hear?
Yeah.
Shit, damn. I'm old, so it might take a while. But I probably do like, you know, probably like an Andre 3000 with like a, you know, Corrupt. That's probably my favorite West Coast MC of all time, you know. Throw a little MF Doom in there for sure. You know, some Rock Marcy. Yeah. Damn. Yeah, some shit like that. Yeah. Then let me see. Oh, and we throw a girl in there. I love Tierra Whack right now. I love Tierra Whack right now, though. That's one of my favorite rappers, period, right
She's
now.
She's so dope.
I seen her perform, and really? I was won over. Yeah, shouts to the homegirl, Fadia Cater, at Instagram. They threw an event, and she came out, and so I was just like, ah, let's go. I'm with it. I love lyrics. Anybody rapping?
Yeah.
If you rapping your ass off, I'm with you yeah. all day. So that'll probably be my music baby right there. It'll be weird, but it'll be dope.
And where can people find you on social media?
Elprez, D-E-L-A. Instagram, Twitter. You can definitely hit the website, urbanstreetamerica.com, paydayla.show.com. But yeah, and if I am on Facebook, but you probably got to find it yourself. We do got all
Are
that stuff.
You on Facebook?
Yeah, but I don't do
I
Facebook.
Don't have Facebook.
You know, a good tip I've heard a long time ago is concentrate on two. You don't really need more than like two networks. So I do Instagram, I do Twitter, and Bandcamp, all that, you know, buy my music and merch and shit. Yeah, that's lprez.bandcamp.com or urbanstreetamerica.com. So, and Elprez on any streaming, all that stuff.
There you have it, folks. Isn't that what you say, Allie?
That's what I say?
I think so. Maybe.